series on Netflix yesterday, The Umbrella Academy. It's about some kids that are born on the same day from a woman that are not pregnant. Is not pregnant on the morning, and then she gets pregnant, and they are born on that same day. And they all have superpowers, but the guy that adopts them, it's like a very wealthy guy, like a millionaire. And he tries to train them, but they all become very dysfunctional and traumatized. They all hate the father, and the father has to kill himself to make them meet again, because the father knew there was going to be an apocalypse, and they have to change that and change the timeline and save the world. So actually the father was doing everything he did to try to save the world. And they discovered that, but all the time they're like suffering and showing how traumatized they are. And I think this is like a metaphor of humanity. Like, we believe these aliens are the gods, and we are so traumatized by them because we forgot our powers, and then we blame our situation and everything, but we are the ones creating everything. And we're rediscovering these powers. And yes, I just see it like a metaphor that we are just so confused. We don't know what we really are, or things about even our recent history has been so manipulated, like 9/11 and all the things with the Nazis and many other things. So ancient history is even worse, but the buildings are there, like the pyramids. They have so many different rooms and tunnels under the pyramids, and things that are so heavy and so difficult to build that it seems that they have been built with very advanced technology, because some of these stones are very hard, and it could not be possible to move or to create those objects with the technology people think Egyptians had at the time. And there's also this thing with the pharaohs, that there is not enough time for all the pharaohs to be as they claim. So there has been a big manipulation on human origins and human. There's also this skulls, these very big elongated skulls, and that the official version says the people were just deforming their skulls. But the normal skull, even if you try to deform it, they won't be that big. Like, they're really impressive. So it seems there was also one more other alien race. And, well, they can also travel through time, come back and forth, and this makes things even more complex. that the history and time is not linear like the Gutenberg Galaxy train us to believe. But now we're going back to the quantum technologies, so we are sort of getting into this complexity of the multidimension.
How can we read his works? Are they in book form?
Yes, they just published the Bibele, but I'm not sure if it was only translated into Spanish, because he used to live in Barcelona.
Right.
Or if you can find things from him in other languages.
Right.
But I find it really interesting, because he has done a lot of work with the symbols of the ancient scripture and the words.
Well, that's the same. While you're looking at him, I'm looking at Michael T. Zarian. He does the same thing. looking at ancient texts and then showing this alien. So what does Alexander say these people did? Were just bloodlines? They didn't stay around and imprison us or anything?
No, the thing is, they created all religions to control humanity, well, and there's only the people in the mystery schools or like the Templars or in the Vatican. They knew the real history because, for example, in Notre Dame in Paris, in the facade, they have three women, not one. In the facade, yes. In many religious representations of things, they show these things in a symbolic way. Like, in some of the videos I've shown how all these things are actually related to alchemy, like the dark matter.
Yeah.
The encounter with the dead, with the negredo, and all the transformations that you have to go through to get to the transmutation of the blood. It's all about these things that they make easy stories and use the archetypes. And there is something in us that somehow gives power to these archetypes and these images. When I see all these saints and virgins and the cross and all this, it's like, how could people believe in those things for 2,000 years? And still, it's like in the kindergarten. It's so silly. But what gave these things so much power? And now somehow that people are maybe remembering things, like even the Vatican and people like this professor are sort of trying to then show a little more of what really happened. Like, yes, there were these races coming from somewhere else, and they're here, and we had been interacting with each other and mixing with each other. And that's why I say America is like the big experiment where they are trying to mix all the races. And actually, like the blue is the whites, all the Christians are the whites, the Beren, and the Payos are the pyramids and the sun. So somehow the Ionic things uses both archetypes of both sides. And like we have the column, and then we turn it upside down, and we have these very Christian kings of La Loire. And actually, the French kings, they claim they got some special liquid they use on their coronations from heaven. So yeah, they also had this interaction, and I suppose all these angel things, it's actually just like a symbol of something that came from the heavens.
Right. That's what Michael Cesarion says. Cesarion.
Yeah, so. But it's not like we used to think. They're coming with the airships. It's more, I think, through portals.
Does he say that?
Well, I'm still reading, but you can see it in the tarot, the card of the world. That's like the last card, the liberated person that accomplished the path from the fool to the world. He's like going out through a portal. So there's, I think they do have this type of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, with all the scandals in the church, people are leaving the church. Like, they cannot believe in an institution that is so corrupt and so pedophile. So they may get into the alien.
You think that's their that's the new direction?
Yes, like yeah, the apocalypse is the revelation, actually.
Yeah. Does anybody have anything they want to ask Roxy about what she said? Or anything to add to it?
Yes, like...
Anybody there?
Yeah, this, yeah,
Bob,
this,
I would add something. What about the fallen angels? That's the biblical explanation of everything Roxy has said. They were here before we were.
Yes. Michael Cesarian talks about them being ETs. The angels are ETs. And then there's different levels of manufacturing the first Adam and then the second Adam. It's complicated. It gets into Lemuria and stuff. But Ian says there are three UFOs, those made by military people, those from foreign planets, foreign bodies, and then ourselves floating around on these vehicles. Three levels. Ourselves from the future, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm sure that Ian has been asked about whether we were genetically altered. And I recall him saying that it wasn't done to us. We did it to ourselves.
Right.
And I'm wondering to what extent the pyramid is involved in that process, because Ian chooses the pyramid as a symbol. In fact, the only visual symbol we have of Ian is a pyramid, you know, his logo, their logo on their site. Aside from the holographic image and stuff that you saw, but the one that everybody sees of Ian is the pyramid. And it's interesting that we have these things in our brain called pyramidical cells, which are the shape of pyramids. And they are principal neurons of the cerebral cortex, generating all critical initiated excitation. And they're found in the cerebral cortex, the hippocampus, the amygdala. And the interesting thing about them is the place they're found in the brain, if you put the eye of Horus over the brain, in the center of the brain, it marks out all the places where the pyramidical cells are found. So you have the eye of Horus, which is associated with, you know, the pyramids of Egypt.
Yeah.
Then you have these pyramidical cells, which they're the primary excitation units of the mammalian prefrontal cortex and the corticospinal tract. So they really, really are important cells. Then you see that they're doing experiments at the moment in which they've captured cells inside minute pyramids, and then they join these pyramids together. And they're doing this experimentation because they say when cells are kept in minute pyramids, they can study the changes in the phenotype of the cell much better. It's more efficient to study. And now the phenotype is any governs any aspect of the organism's morphology, behavior, or physiology. In other words, the feature of the organism is governed by the phenotype. So the organism's phenotype is affected by its genotype and its environment. The environment being obviously the pyramid that they're putting around it. Then another interesting thing was that they've recently done these experiments on the Pyramid of Giza. And they've found that the study looked at how pyramids' shape would behave when it is interacted with radio waves that are resonant with itself, with the pyramid. In other words, its amplification capacities. And what they discovered is that the resonant radio waves of the pyramid are between 200 and 600 meters, or 650 and 1,970 feet, which is the same wavelength we use for high-speed wireless communication. So all these things with the pyramid are really interesting because internally they appear to be one of the most important cells. When we put cells in a pyramid, it definitely has an effect on the phenotype of the human. You know, its behavior, its appearance, and all these sorts of things. And then now they're finding that pyramids are able to communicate the information that we're communicating over the internet, roughly 4G communication. So it would be interesting, you know, one of the questions I have for Ian related to this would be, are our different cultures around the planet kind of resonating around pyramids and their environment that are somehow communicating phenotype information through the pyramidical cells of the Eye of Horus within everybody? You know, it's a real weird sense, loads of connections there.
Yes, because to add to that complexity in this type of cities, there's also this mirroring from heaven and in the earth, like the Orion stars, or like the trajectory of Venus in the city of Tula. Those things is like, how could they know about all those measurements? And the people that study those cities find this type of information that is really impressive. Like Eric von Däniken has been doing that research too, and the thing he says I find also very interesting, because he has been into this topic of how a lot of these things were built by extraterrestrials. And Zappa sort of made fun of that with this Cosmic Debris song. But I think he actually thought about these topics very seriously. He will make fun of that, and he will not fall into the hippie, new age, and drug things, because he saw it was a way of manipulating the youth and keeping the population stupid with popular culture. And he tried to infiltrate this popular culture and do something more complex.
Yeah. And what does Alexander say about the pyramids?
I haven't really found anything clear about that, because he has a book about only the Payos. So those are the Asian pyramid builders and some worshippers, but I haven't read that book.
Well, here's Zappa's song about UFOs called Inca Roads. Did a vehicle come from somewhere out there just to land in the Andes? Was it round and did it have a motor or was it something different? Did a vehicle fly along the mountains and find a place to park itself? Or did someone build a place to leave a space for such a vehicle to land? Did a vehicle come from somewhere out there? He repeats that. Did the Indians first on the bill carve up the hill? Did a booger bear come from somewhere out there just to land in the Andes? Was she round and did she have a motor? Or was she something different? Guacamole queen. Guacamole queen. Guacamole queen.
Drugity.
Yes, because according to Eliezer, the three astronauts, the Marias, the cosmonauts, landed in Mexico.
Right.
And actually, there is a lot of this type of things embodied in the Indian culture and the Toltec culture, because he says they gave 13 rotations, or how do you say, around the earth before landing.
Mm-hmm.
And in some traditional dances, like there is one called the Flyers of Papantla. Papantla is a place where vanilla grows. And these people, there are like four dancers that fall from a big post, and they do the 13 circles until they land on the floor.
Yeah.
And all the calendars in the Mexican, what we call Mexico now, in the Maya and the Aztec and the Toltec cultures, are based on the 13. Like their century was 52, which is a multiple of 13.
Yeah.
And that was the reason why.
Why that, what?
They believe these gods that came from heaven surrounded the earth 13 times before landing. So they believe this number was sacred somehow.
Okay, so then it says Guacamole Queen at the Armadillo in Austin, Texas. That's formerly Mexico. Her aura. Or did someone build a place or leave a space for Chester's thing to land? That's Chester is the drummer in his band. Then it says Chester's thing on Ruth. That's Ruth Underwood in his band. Did a booger bear come from somewhere out there? Repeats that. Did the Indians first on the bill carve up her hill on Ruth? That's Ruth. So the song goes from UFO to saying that Ruth is one of these aliens, right in his band.
The booger bear is probably the abominable snowman or the Yeti.
Oh yeah, right. But
we're actually all from alien essence.
What?
Well, only the black people are native to Earth.
Yeah.
We're all actually experiments from these races.
Would you say spray?
Experiments.
The black people.
All the other races that, like in the Temple of Men in Luxor, it's all about the human body. And this, I suppose, shows, the human body is really amazing, and it could actually regenerate and keep functioning perfect. Like it has the power to regenerate itself. But something starts going wrong, that is, regeneration starts copying the errors, and then we get old.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, the way things work. I mean, it's possible to regenerate forever, like if we take the RNA drops. I was telling you, I see the same effect that happened to the radishes in Hawaii, that they got so perfect, and so they are not infected with the normal bacteria or viruses other plants have. They're just healthy and amazing.
You get that, people?
The
radishes, I don't know why there's an echo. The radishes
in that
footage that Carolyn did.
Roxy's
saying that we become beautiful like the radishes.
Yes.
I'm thinking of adding a new factor. How do I get rid of this stupid
echo? I just looked in the bathroom, Bob. Well, the human body is a bit like cold. The human body at the moment is a bit like cold play that hasn't been switched on yet.
Yes, and also the blood.
The blood.
The big mystery.
I just unplugged something.
I'm not saying this till I get perfect reception. Maybe I should just disconnect the Skype.
this Twilight Zone effect.
Right. I think that helped. No Skype.
You're back.
I'm back. So I was thinking of adding a new requirement. Yes, you take the drops. That'll help you live forever, but you might have to have sex with me. What do you think? That's a cult, right? That's a cult.
Yeah.
Then you cross the line, Bob. You're crossing the line with that one. Into cultdom. No turning.
What do you think?
No, you just have to take your supplements or compliments, like I call them.
Yes. What did Michael say? I just have to what, Michael?
I said once you declare that, then you draw the line and you cross it into being a cult, and there's no going
back. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I could service everybody, so I'm not going to make that a rule. I mean, as we get more popular, it could get really sore. I could get really fucked up, right?
You might need a woman assistant for that, Bob, as well.
Yes. Right? Well, I know who could do that. But we'll keep that unsaid. Is Kyle still here?
Yeah, Bob, I'm still here.
So when you say you study the Bible, what are you studying? Do you listen to Revelations?
No. There's over 200 other manuscripts that weren't put in the Bible, and that's what I've been exploring, concentrating on, finding more information to add to the Bible.
Do they go into UFOs or this kind of stuff that Roxy's talking about?
Yeah, the book of Enoch.
Yeah.
That really goes into the fallen angels and all the prehistory information.
Yeah. That's right. That's what Michael Sarin quotes them, the book of Enoch.
Yeah. There's a lot of information out there, like Roxy said, that has been hidden from the public. And that's what I've been. So when I study the Bible, basically what I do is I try to go back and reinterpret it to a higher level, try to get a different. That's where Ian taught me. When I listened to Ian give his interpretation of what I thought something meant, he could get a total different interpretation. So that's what I try to do. It's really interesting because
that's the big effect of the Gutenberg galaxy, that everybody started reading the Bible and trying to get it, the real meaning, and that so many people have been really putting their whole life into that goal. And I find it really interesting that in the I Am the Light version of Jesus made by Leonardo that just appeared and was bought for the second Louvre.
Yeah.
He paints, usually the archetype of this Jesus, he has the Bible on one hand and the other two fingers pointing up, you know, like ascension, and the Bible. He replaced the Bible, the book, with this transparent sphere, like a crystal sphere. So I find it really interesting because the French kings saw themselves as the real Christian kings, and they thought they were in charge of actually promoting Christianity in the world. And when Francis I was not crowned as the Christian emperor, but Charles V, his enemy, he was like very disappointed. But it's really interesting that Leonardo, his friend, paints Jesus not with the Bible, but with this crystal sphere.
Yeah.
That he replaced the Bible, La Bibele.
Right.
But what did you learn from the Evergreens about these topics, about aliens' interaction with humans?
I think you can hear it all on my site, but basically they talk about the Bootes constellation, B-O-O-T-E-S, and the well-known star Arcturus, A-R-C-T-U-R-U-S, is in that constellation of seven stars. And they say the Booteans were the closest to humanity. So they monitored us since we were lemurs. You know that little animal, L-E-M-U-R?
Yeah.
So the lemurs watched the dinosaurs die and all that. And the Booteans knows that the lemur was very flexible, so that it could, that flexibility evolved with whatever came out of the lemur. And you get to the Neanderthal apes, and there was another ape, and the Booteans altered the non-Neanderthal ape, what became Cro-Magnon man. And I was trying to remember. I know they say the Booteans altered our wrist and our jaw, but I think that was later. I can't remember what they did with the Cro-Magnon man unless they did alter the Cro-Magnon. Let's say they altered the Cro-Magnon man, the jaw, and the wrist. So Michael, in his impressions, he saw the gadget in his dream state. He saw the gadget they used. It was like a laser thing that altered the genes. So a laser beam kind of apparatus was put on the jaw so that the apes could eat better. And the flexible thumb was important. So then the Neanderthals died off, and the Cro-Magnon moved forward, and the aliens dropped the Cro-Magnon ape in like 40 places around the planet. So they evolved there, and they just kept monitoring us. And about 6,000 BC, they gave some rudimentary inventions to humans, and that caused a big breakthrough. and they don't follow the Star Wars Prime Directive, which is they don't remember in that store that story, Star Wars, Star Trek, whatever one it was. The Prime Directive is that the aliens do not interfere with evolution, and the Evergreens said, "No, that's not true. They try to influence it, or they do influence as much as possible." So they're watching us. They watch us evolve, and they're getting us ready to go out there and join the rest of the people. So that's the brief summary. So they do say we were altered. We wouldn't have evolved if we didn't have that. But they don't go into, they don't say there's, you know, aliens trapped here who are pissed off, like Michael Sarian says, and they imprisoned us. They don't go with that. And Leah, L-E-A, out in British Columbia, she types in the chat line that she used to watch, or she looked at Michael Cesarian's tapes years ago. She followed him. So I'm pretty sure.
You know, like, the whole thing that is going on with you and the drops and how they came to be and... In a way, it's again like a type of new manipulation.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like we are doing it voluntary for some reason. Like I started listening to Ion just before the drops came to be, and I just knew I had to take them.
Yeah.
Like I didn't know what. I mean, you can tell me they're this and that, and I cannot prove it. I don't have a lab to prove it, but
right.
I just, something in me knows this is it's going to work. And
it did.
And I can actually see it because, like, I never had any chronic sicknesses or any pain or anything that I could say, yes, I took the drops and now I don't have those symptoms anymore, but I can compare with my friends. Like, it's been a while since we have been doing this, and like the other day I was with a friend and somebody asked her if I was her daughter.
Yeah.
And we are like the same age, but it's not only the way you look, but actually how you vibrate or something like
that. Yeah. Yeah. How you
the
vibrate.
You have, like, there is something that when people that doesn't know me approach me in the streets, they usually call me girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mädchen in German.
Or right. Hey, girl.
Frau.
A young girl, yeah.
And when I'm in the doctor, they usually think there is a mistake, like, They ask me, where were you born? Because here it says this date, and I think it's a mistake or something. And I say, no, it's right. And they look like they don't really believe it.
They don't believe you're born.
That's the way, or like, I have a boyfriend we met a long time ago. And he was telling me he found a picture of me last weekend, and he thinks I actually look younger than when he met me,
I think
13 years ago.
Right.
Like, he says there is something about me now that he says, you look the same, but it's actually like you're younger.
Mm.
Like, you have another energy, like... Like, so that's how I can sort of
validate our stuff.
Yeah, like when I see the experiment with the radishes.
Yes.
I say, yes, I think I have a better muscular tone than when I was 20. Like I'm strong.
Yep. Other INETs can say that. I just want to say, so if you go to Bob's private sessions with the Evergreens on Ion and Bob, and scroll down to a section called On Evolution, there's 8 recordings. Now, I played all these on Bob thing, you know, the week-long no eating, no, what is it, no sleeping marathon. But there's a lot on the details of the Boodians altering us in those 8 dates, 8 recordings. It's pretty good. But we haven't gotten the details out of Ion on that level yet. So I expect you to ask some questions.
There is like the race that is native to Earth.
The what?
I'm not sure if the black people that are actually from the planet. Maybe they're talking about the black people because the other races are supposed to have been brought.
Oh, I see, yeah. So the black people, the black races are native to the planet.
Yeah, but then we also mixed. So there's other groups, and there are then other groups coming also after.
Right.
Other alien races coming.
Well, Ion told me something about UFOs that's quite startling. And I'm not going to talk. I'm not allowed to talk about it. But
like, I know some people don't know.
Thanks for bringing it up,
Bob. You know, Ion told me also something, but I cannot tell you.
That's okay. That's all right. you can have some secrets, but
no. But actually, I mean, the whole thing with the Aerosmith drops are actually like a mythical story. Like,
yes.
You know, like.
Yep.
There is this thing called Enophysical. He likes popular music, and he came to give us this
magic lotion. Well, like you know, you're talking about Umberto. He had a toothache, and you put some Pico Silver on it, and it went away, and he couldn't believe it.
Yes, because it's like antibacterial.
Yeah. No, we. So what I am told,
I mean, the effect is like fast to see, and yeah, it's something we can actually use and see the results, so that we are not just crazy people, you know?
Right. That's right.
But it's a new way of changing humanity. But the humans that are taking this, it's not like they're being modified against their will, but...
Yeah, voluntarily. Yeah, voluntarily. That's a good point.
Taking their power back. And it's about frequency, similarity, or affinity. How does Zion call that?
Vibrational proximity.
Yeah, vibrational proximity. That it's like you live in Maui, and it's like, how did we became friends? You know, it must be this vibrational
right.
proximity.
Yeah,
that somehow make us be part of this force field that we call the Ionic.
You know, an hour or two ago, I said, Jean, who said she'd be here in 3 hours after she slept. I said, I bet you she overslept. So she just sent an email. Well, crap, that didn't work. I just woke up now. Sounds like you've got a good show going. I was just wondering about when we would hear from Roxy again.
Yes, I don't know if you told her, but... I just felt the urge to change everything in my life, so I'm studying again, and it's hard to. I'm still going through many changes, so at the time I have no free days anymore. Like, I'm studying and working. Today I'm free, but it's like an exception. But I'm still working on how to do things so that I can be there when I am. Comes back, but I actually feel I have contact with Ion every day. Like I don't feel they're gone.
Right.
Because of many reasons, like especially with the things with the archetypes.
Yeah. Well, you are now got to do school courses, so it takes up all your week besides working.
Yes, and it's very hard when you have some type of awareness, you know. To
accept
like,
this,
oh God.
The path they talk.
Yes, like it's so old school, but.
Well, when in October, November 89, I used to ask the Evergreens topics about UFOs, and they wouldn't tell me anything. They wouldn't tell anybody anything about it, other than the story I told you, which was in a little booklet you could buy. And then later I got access, but it changed in October 89 when Pravda, the Russian paper, announced that there was a UFO sighting outside of Moscow. So I asked Ian about that. No, the Evergreens. And they said, yes, there was a sighting. And the people who saw it reported to Gorbachev. And Gorbachev said, well, if that's true, then what the hell are we doing? It made him pretty disgusted at human politics and all that. So it spread around to about six other countries, and that's right, 89-90 is when a lot of UFO shows came on American TV and around the world. It opened up. So the Aryans were telling me about this, and they said, and this is the first time we've told a human about this situation. So I was the first to hear about it. And then, of course, also apt or appropriate, since I'm OFA now. So then I got to ask all kinds of questions about the UFOs after that point, and that's what's on the evolution part of the Evergreens private sessions. It's pretty good. Now, Ian, but that's all within time. Ian shatters everything by saying there is literally no time. So you can't even string a bunch of thoughts together and make order out of it. Realize I'm talking from a level where you can't make talk. If I'm thinking about what Ian's saying, I wouldn't be able to put a sentence together.
Yes, this type of thoughts are part of these things we are experiencing, the changes that are becoming, and how we are going from the Gutenberg galaxy thinking, linear logic, and all this labyrinth of the mind into something else.
Well, here's the something.
Just aware
this is what you got to
dimensional, and that we cannot have this type of thinking anymore.
Right, but let me tell you what you're calling the Gutenberg galaxy, the electric age. McLuhan had a term for it. Do you know what it is? The Marconi galaxy.
Right.
Yeah, so you haven't absorbed
that. The word for today is the Marconi galaxy.
Right.
Welcome to season three.
Season three. So you can say we went from the Gutenberg galaxy into something new, not like the Gutenberg galaxy, and that's the Marconi galaxy. He only used it a few times, but he did have a term for the 20th century.
Yes, but these eras are now like just a moment, you know, like everything goes so fast.
Yeah.
But like during Christianity, like the church was really able to take all scriptures and hide them and translate them and change everything. And for 2,000 years, all these ancient myths and stories were forgotten.
Yeah.
But there is scriptures in many other places, like in architecture and pottery and jewels or any other objects.
And
that information somehow survived. So that people like Alexander Eliezer could sort of find out again that these people, these ancient cultures are saying all they knew was taught by these people coming from heaven in these weird airships or portals.
Okay, that would be, you got three kinds of UFOs. So the foreign body vehicles, they influence something in there, in our history. But there was also people coming from parallel worlds, not in vehicles. And that would be part of the, where you see yourself in a UFO from the future. And then you have the military picking up what they got from the Nazis, who got it through Rachel, the medium. So you got three stories.
This Netflix series I was watching, The Umbrella Academy,
You
have something called The Commission, and they want to have this parallel timeline where there is an apocalypse, and they just have to keep things, and if they see something is going to happen or some people is born or is doing something that is going to change the timeline, they have to eliminate that person. And they have hitmen that go through times that are time travelers and people working and keeping the timeline.
Right.
So that was sort of interesting.
Yeah, I might take a look at it. I need to ask. Michael, just a minute.
Also
Roxy,
call, like,
just a minute, Roxy. I got to check this out because of the time. Are you staying here, Michael and Nick, or are you gone?
I'm here, Bob.
That's Nick. No, that's Michael.
That's Michael. Yeah, I think Nicholas has a visitor today. That's why he's not on.
I'm here,
okay,
Bob.
Oh, Bob. Okay. He's here, Bob.
Yeah, I think Kyle's here. So if Roxy wants to keep talking, maybe we should go another hour then. What do you say, Roxy? You
okay, Bob.
Keep talking?
Yes, we started our cosmic debris topic.
Right. Okay, so I'll tell Bill not to end it in 10 minutes. We'll go another
hour. Yeah, thanks.
Excellent.
Like I was telling you, I mean, the drops are, again, something that is changing. Or RNA.
Yep, RNA, right.
And the whole way in which ion works with the language and with the elements that are used in the products, like the blue color and the different archetypes that you use on your logo.
Yeah.
It's like very well thought. When I'm reading about the tarot and, you know, how things inverted the tarot and how then the church inverted all the meaning of many of those informations and many of the words, the meaning was inverted in Latin. It's like a clue of how everything has been inverted and Ion is sort of like, we're going through these metanoias, checking the big archetype of the darkness to the light and the tarot and Christian archetypes and many other things that had been used to manipulate this information, that we're just like turning things around. That he also said all the Bible is inverted.
Yeah.
And I
also
find
said,
it really interesting.
Yeah, Ion said we're all standing upside down.
Yeah, because he also talks a lot about mirrors, and that was also a big thing in Leonardo. You know, he always wrote on the, as if using a mirror.
Yeah. Reverse the image. And so the newer,
we're trying to to like turning the bottle upside down and seeing things from another perspective, and you have this character with three faces, so that he's looking in different directions, different angles.
Yeah.
In all times, like past, present, future. So the all the elements that are in the bottle had a lot of content.
What are the elements in the bottle?
Like the column. The column.
On the bottle.
The acanthus on the column.
Yeah, acanthus, yeah.
It's a plant from another planet, and you have these scrolls that the information that is written on the scrolls is hidden by this plant from another parallel world.
Yeah.
And it's like that area corresponds to the head and all the proportions of the Corinthian column is based on human proportions.
Yeah.
On the head. And if you see the images of virgins, they look like pyramids when they have their clothes and the halo around their heads is like the sun.
Yeah.
So it's actually like the Ionic logo, the pyramid with the sun.
Yeah.
And there is some virgins called the Virgins of Ascension. Like, they're standing on a column. And there's also the snakes and ladders, you know, the archetypes.
Yeah.
Snakes going up. And the Templars had this game. When you did the path from Santiago de Compostela, they had this game of snakes and ladders. The snakes, you go back again, and the ladders, you go up, and you may finish, then you may think you're going to finish, and then you have a snake, and you go back to the start.
Right.
And so they have this, a lot of clues on the churches, on the path. So if you could read the clues, you could get maybe faster to your goal, like maybe some alchemy thing. But then it might be a false clue, and you will be lost. So there is all these symbols, like the staff of Moses is the staff with the snake, and the dollar symbol is based on that, and the health symbol is also that. And Jesus is actually, again, like the snake is replaced by the man, because is like the creature that is on the earth is ascending, you know, and this is humans ascending. So we have all these archetypes, and actually I go to all these archetypes through the logo in the RNA drops.
Yes, that's right.
Like going through things on the castles, and these archetypes in the path of the darkness to the light, they all come from the logo on the bottle. How we found the connection to Frank the First.
Yes.
On his portrait, that this thing on your bottle is behind him. And then in the Chambord Castle, they have these stairs in the middle that look like the DNA strands.
Yeah, the stairs. Yeah.
And they were designed by Leonardo da Vinci. There is so much that art historians and people studying all these symbols, they see there is an agenda, but nobody really knew what it was. They all thought Francis the First was just an egomaniac king that was into building a lot of castles, because he destroyed the old Louvre and started the new one, and then he built a lot of castles, including Chambord. And there is some weird connection to the RNA drops.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, it has been very fascinating just from one this logo to get into all the